Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you in that listening audience. We come to you each and every Sunday at this time by the grace of God. We're in our 19th year now bringing these broadcasts to you. And we praise the Lord for that, for all the prayer support, the provision, the support from the radio station, and most of all for you, the listener, for being there for all these years. We appreciate you. And the Lord loves you very much. Today we're going to be talking about dealing with addictions, and this is an appropriate subject for the first of the year. Many people make resolutions to deal with problems in their life, deal with addictions and strongholds in their life. And so we're going to be talking about dealing with addictions, how strongholds come into our life and how we can deal with them, what the Word of God says to give us weapons to deal with addictions in our life. So if you have your Bible there, turn it today to Matthew chapter 10, and we'll start in verse 7 here in just a minute, right after our prayer time. Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you in that listening audience. We're going to be talking about dealing with addictions, the message for today, but before we do, I want to just give you a brief update. I'm coming to you from Kenya today, and we're back in the rainy season. It's a very strange year this year. Ordinarily, this time of year, it's very hot and dry, and we usually have two and a half months of very dry weather, but we're back in the rains now, and some people are saying this is El Nino. It's an extended rainy season from the fall, and if that's the case, we'll take it. We're planting lots of vegetables out at the farm, sukuma wiki and traditional greens, and even some tomatoes and cucumbers, and so we're back in a rainy season and kind of like a growing season, so it's very different from what we're accustomed to. The children, as I spoke in the prayer time, are in school, and so we're blessing them, and they're all excited. We have about four different schools that we send the children to. Some are secondary, some junior secondary, and then primary school. And then we also have a couple of young boys, 2 years old, who aren't in school. And they're my buddies out there at the children's home. So they're kind of lonesome now. The other kids are off to school. So these two boys can pray for them. Well, today we're going to be talking about dealing with addictions. This is a very appropriate subject at the first of the year, as I spoke, because we have a tradition, I guess you would say, when the year rolls over, that many people speak about resolutions. Many people make resolutions, and it's generally dealing with things in their life that are a problem in their life, and they want to take control over their life and get the bad habits out, bring good habits in, whether it's jogging or regular exercise program or dealing with eating too many sweets or smoking, drinking, whatever it is. There are a lot of addictions, and the flesh gets attached to things that degrade the flesh, destroy the flesh. And so it's very important to deal with addictions in your life. And so if you've made resolutions this new year and resolutions that deal with bad habits and addictions in your life, well, this teaching is going to help you because it will give you some idea and some instruction about where the strongholds come from, where the demonic entries come from in your life. And this is a big, big subject because it opens up to you the whole world of the demonic, the whole world of the unseen realm. And if you're not a believer, some of this may be new to you today. Maybe you're just curious and you're listening today and you don't really understand the demonic realm and the unseen realm. But if you are a believer and you've dealt with strongholds in your life before and you're just trying to improve your life, this is going to be a good teaching for you. And for those of you who aren't a believer, you don't know much about the Bible, the unseen realm is just as real as that chair you're sitting on today. And it's real. You have to deal with it. The attacks of the devil against you are going to continue all the days of your life until you take the last breath that you can take on this earth. And the wiles and schemes of the evil one are against you to keep you from moving forward in the kingdom. and dealing with addictions, especially very destructive ones like drug addiction, alcohol addiction, cigarette smoking, those kind of things are very destructive to your holy temple, to your body. And so it's important that you deal with them. It's important that you know what you're dealing with and who your enemy is. And so that's what we're going to be discussing here today as we look at this passage of scripture in Matthew chapter 10, verse 8. Well, let's start in verse 7. Jesus is sending the disciples out to the lost house of Israel, or in other words, to the nation of Israel. And this is before he went to the cross. This is before the end of his ministry. And he says to them, verse 7, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. And so he's given the disciples instructions, and there's four things he tells them to do as they go out to minister to the lost house of Israel. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. And so Jesus brought up the subject of demons to the disciples. And so it was a subject that he knew everything about. He knew from the beginning of time who Satan was. Lucifer, the shining one, was the anointed cherub in heaven. And so Jesus knew all about him. And so there was nothing in the demonic realm that took Jesus by surprise. And so we need to be aware of our enemy as well. We need to know what's going on in the unseen realm. And so if Jesus sent the disciples out and told them to cast out demons, that should give us a hint and a clue that we also, as believers and as disciples of Jesus Christ, we also can cast out demons. And so if this is something that is new to you, you've never heard it before, just understand this, that you have power, you have authority, because greater is he, greater is God that is in you than the little he, the little demon, the little Satan that is in the world. And so you have the power, you have authority to cast demons out of your own life, and you have authority and you have power to cast demons out of other people's lives, out of your children. And so this is a powerful teaching when you understand that you have authority to make changes in your life. That authority doesn't come from your own power. It doesn't come from your own authority. It comes from the authority given to us as disciples of Jesus Christ, as believers in Jesus Christ. And so that power then can be accessed and it can be utilized, can be manifested through us to deal with the strongholds in our life. Well, in Luke 10:18, Jesus again is talking to the disciples. And he said to the disciples, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. And verse 19, behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. And so what he's saying here is the greatest miracle, the greatest power manifestation of all things is that your name is written in the book of heaven, in the Lamb's book of heaven. In other words, your salvation is greater than any miracle. Your salvation is greater than any healing. Your salvation is greater than you casting out any demon, because these disciples had come back from their ministry and they were very excited because they found out they could cast out demons in the name of Jesus. And Jesus said, that's great, but the greatest thing is your salvation and that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And so what he's telling the disciples is that you have authority. And this is what the Word of God is speaking to you today. If you're dealing with addictions, and addictions can be very destructive, cause us all kinds of problems, land us in jail, land us in prison, land us in treatment centers, land us in doing all kinds of crazy things, DUIs and dealing with all kinds of crazy things. And so you have to learn to take authority. You have to embrace the authority and understand the authority that God has given us to trample on serpents and scorpions. And that isn't a literal thing. Yes, we have sometimes dealing with scorpions in the real world and with serpents in the real world, the natural world, but that is more of a symbolic representation. Trampling on serpents and scorpions, basically Jesus is saying you have authority over the enemy. And so when you encounter the enemy, it may not look like a scorpion to you, may just look like a person, may look like stronghold in your life that you just can't deal with and you can't overcome, a big mountain in your life, and it keeps knocking you down, it keeps holding you back and putting you in precarious situations, dangerous situations. God says, Jesus said, you have authority to deal with these serpents and scorpions, and you have authority over all the power of the enemy. So don't give the devil too much power in your life. Don't give him power with your words, and don't say things like, well, I can never overcome overeating or gluttony, or I can never overcome drinking too much, or every time I drink, I get drunk, or whatever. Don't speak with your words and give the devil more power than what he has. You have power. Greater is he, greater is God that is in you than that little he that is in the world. And when you start to exercise that authority and you start to cast the demon out of your life through reading God's word, we'll talk about this more next week, about the weapons of our warfare, how you can deal with these serpents and scorpions. But you can read God's word and slowly get saturated with his word. You can pray, you can worship, you can be in the fellowship. There's many different ways, and as I said, we'll deal with this more next week, so you can implement the tools and the weapons that God has given us to cast out demons and to take authority over them and to be disciples of Jesus Christ and get on top of these serpents and the scorpions. Well, I'm going to turn now to Matthew 12, verse 43, and this talks about casting unclean spirits out of your life, and then what happens next if you don't succeed, if you don't follow through with good discipleship and good Bible study, good prayer. If you don't follow through, then the demons can come back and make your life more miserable than it was before you started. Matthew chapter 12, verse 43, Jesus again is speaking to the disciples, and he says, when an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places, that is the unclean spirit, he goes through dry places seeking rest, and he finds none. Well, let me just stop right there and say the abode, the desired abode of an unclean spirit is in a human body. They don't want to be out in the dry places. They don't want to be out in the desert. They don't want to be out on the street corner, standing on the street corner. They want to be in a person. These spirits are spirits that were originally in people who were killed in the flood, who were drowned in the flood, back in Genesis chapter 6. And God said he wasn't going to strive with man any longer, and he found one family, the family of Noah and his children, Noah and his wife and his children, and it was through them that God carried the bloodline of Jesus Christ, our Messiah, through Noah and his family, because Noah was found blameless before the Lord. His soul was still pure. He was still redeemable. His family was still redeemable. And all the rest of the mankind on the earth at that time, God had declared that they were corrupt and too defiled and not redeemable. Their souls were not redeemable. So he drowned all of mankind at that time in the flood of Noah. And the spirits of those people still roam the earth, and they are looking for a body to inhabit. And that's how demons attach to our flesh. That's how demons attach to our soul. And sometimes demons take over people's spirits and they become demon possessed. But if you are a born-again believer, if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you are a born-again believer, you've confessed his name, then the demons cannot overtake your spirit, because the Spirit of the living God, the Holy Spirit of God, is in your spirit, is attached to your spirit, and abides with you. Jesus said that we will come and abide with you. We will make our home with you. And so the Spirit of the living God, the Holy Spirit, then abides with you, gives you counsel, gives you instruction, gives you direction, gives you comfort, the paraclete, the intercessor. And so that is how you deal with demons. You have to get associated. You have to come alongside Jesus Christ and confess his name, and then the Holy Spirit will be your companion, your intercessor, and your paraclete. Well, in 44, verse 44, Matthew 12, the demon says, "I will return to my house from which I came." And when he comes, he finds it empty, swept, and put in order. And so he's out in the desert place, and he says, "I don't like it here. I want to go back to my house," which is the person that he was cast out of. He says, "I don't like it out here in the desert. I'm going to go back where I feel comfortable." And he goes back to that person, and he enters that place and person because the house is swept and put in order, but it doesn't have the Holy Spirit of God in it. In other words, the demon comes back, he checks things out, and he says, "Is there a power here that's going to keep me out? Is there a guard at the door, a watchman at the door? Or is it things just look kind of like they're okay, really no power here to keep me out?" And so when he finds it empty, that is empty of the Holy Spirit, swept and put in order, he says, "I'm going to go and take with me," this is verse 45, he goes and he takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of the man is more wicked or worse than the first, so shall it be also with this wicked generation. And so he goes, he checks out his old house, he checks out to see if the Holy Spirit, if there's a stronger power, a greater power than him in the house, guarding the house. And he says, "I don't see anything strong here. I'm going to go get seven more demons stronger than myself. And we're going to come back." And now when he comes in, there's eight demons that are attached to the flesh or attached to the soul. And they torment that person. They torment you. They torment me. And so if you don't deal with these strongholds, every time you get some kind of a deliverance, say you go to a Christian concert, or say you go to a conference somewhere and you get some kind of deliverance, the demons get cast out, or maybe you have somebody lay hands on you and pray for you and the demons leave. The demons are cast out. But if they go out and you're not really dedicated to discipling yourself in the way of Jesus Christ, you're not really committed to discipling yourself, and so the demon comes back and you've backslidden, you're not taking care of your spiritual walk, you're not taking care of yourself, the demon comes back, he comes back with seven others more wicked than himself, and it says the last state of the man is worse than the first, or more wicked than the first. And so it will be with this wicked generation. Well, so it will be with this wicked generation in 2024. Many people dealing with drug addiction, fentanyl. Last year in the U.S., over 100,000 people died of fentanyl overdose. And we have heroin overdose. We have people addicted to all kinds of drugs. It's wiped out practically a large percentage of a whole generation of young people. And we have all kinds of alcohol treatment centers all over the U.S. because alcohol addiction is a tremendous problem in the U.S. Cigarette smoking isn't as prevalent as it used to be, but it's very destructive, causes lots of cancers and problems with the body. And so when these demons come back, if they're not dealt with properly, and the person, you're not discipled in the way of Jesus Christ. You're not discipled to keep from backsliding and keep these demons out. Then they come back and they multiply. That's one becomes eight. This eight, when they go out, each one of them brings seven more. And so you have an exponential multiplication. And that's why the nature of addictions is so difficult to deal with, because you're multiplying the number of demons. And after a while, you have demons that you can't even deal with because the number is so great. Well, one of the great stories in the Bible is in Mark chapter 5, and Jesus goes over to the country of the Gadarenes, and he meets this man who is living in the tombs. He's living out in the cemetery where the people are buried, and he had an unclean spirit. Well, actually, he had many unclean spirits. But anyway, he was dwelling in the tombs, and nobody could bind him, not even with chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him and the shackles broken in pieces, and neither could anyone tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, and he was crying out and cutting himself with stones. And Jesus came upon this man, and when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshiped him. And he cried out with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me." And so this man, the demons in him, they knew Jesus Christ. The demons in him immediately recognized Jesus Christ, because the demons come from Satan. Satan is in charge of the demons. He is the master of the demons. And Jesus said, "I saw Satan fall from lightning." And so these demons are familiar in the unseen realm. They're familiar with Jesus Christ. They're familiar with the Holy Spirit. They're familiar with men and women of God. And so they said, "Jesus, what have I have to do with you, Son of the Most High God? Do not torment me." And in verse 8, Jesus said, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." And so Jesus didn't carry on a conversation with this spirit. So Jesus said, "Come out of this man, you unclean spirit." And then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." Well, I spoke about the exponential increase of demons that come with addictions, and that exponential increase leads eventually to a point where you may have somebody here that is completely out of their mind. The demons have taken over their spirit, their soul, and their body, and now you're not just dealing with one demon, you're dealing with hundreds or even thousands in this case. And he said, "My name is Legion," which indicated there was a legion of demons, or some people say 2,000 demons that had taken over and found a home in this man. And he begged him, Legion begged him, Jesus, earnestly, that he would not send them out of the country. And now in verse 11, a large herd of swine was feeding there near the mountains. And so all the demons begged him, "Send us to the swine that we may enter them." And at once Jesus gave them permission. Then the unclean spirits went out and entered the swine. And there were about 2,000 of these demons, and the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea and drowned in the sea. Well, the demons didn't drown, the pigs drowned, the swine drowned, but the demons didn't. The demons live on in the unseen realm, and they went to find another body to inhabit. They went to torment somebody else. And so after all of this happened, then in verse 15, here's the culmination of this encounter. And then people of that region, the village, they came to Jesus. In verse 15, it says, they came to Jesus and they saw the one who had been demon possessed and had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. And so, well, I'm not going to read any more of that scripture, but they asked Jesus to leave that part of the country because they just lost 2,000 of their pigs, and they said, "Who is this man, Jesus? He's destroying our livelihood." They weren't even paying attention to the man. They saw the man sitting at the feet of Jesus, and he was in his right mind, but that gave them no joy, gave them no gratitude for the salvation and the restoration and the deliverance of this man called Legion. They were just concerned about their pigs and their economic loss, and so they asked Jesus to leave. And so the man called Legion was instantly delivered, because the power of God is able to instantly deliver us from the strongholds of the enemy. And I suggest you read that whole story, Mark chapter 5. Read that whole story of Legion. It's a wonderful story. It's an illustration of the power that God has given us to deal with demons. And beloved, nothing has changed in the 2,000 years since this story. We still have to deal with demons. We still have to deal with the unseen realm. And if you're struggling with that, I suggest you get your Bible out, read this story, start calling on the name of Jesus, start speaking against that mountain of addiction in your life, speak against it, and ask the Lord to deal with it. Ask the Lord to cast those demons out of you. Speak against them, rebuke them with your own words, with your own mouth, and you will be on your way to being delivered, to being set free, just like this man called Legion. Well, we'll talk more about the weapons of our warfare next week, so be sure and be with us next week as we deal with this topic again. Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We praise the Lord for that. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to have your support. Sit down today. Write us out a note. Let us know you're listening. Include prayer requests. Include a check of donation to keep these radio broadcasts coming and the Africa mission going. We would love to hear from you today. Stay tuned for contact information coming up at the end of this broadcast. Thank you again for listening. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.